Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. We now bring in the outstanding basketball coach at Bucknell. His team currently tied for the Patriot League lead, Dave Paulson. Dave, Dick Girardi, who's my analyst for Penn State on basketball, sent me the Ryan Frazier play yesterday, and I looked at it. What was the explanation to you as to why that's a turnover at that point?
Steve, I'm only here so I won't be fined.
Oh, no. Wow, what a great answer.
By the letter of the law, the NCAA rule has changed. It used to be that you had to reestablish 2 feet back in bounds before you could touch the ball. The NBA changed the rule, and now college has changed the rule so that if you run out of bounds, you can't be the first person to catch the pass. By the letter of the law, that's what happened with Ryan Frazier with 15 seconds to go. Now, in reviewing the tape, there were 7 other instances in the game, including 3 by Colgate that led to baskets, where that happened before. You know, it's kind of like a hand check or illegal screen or rough play in the post. You can't call it every time. Now, I was never even, wasn't even looking for it until I went back and reviewed the tape. But I do think, by letter of law, the official got it right. I think if you ask 99.9% of college basketball officials, play didn't have a bearing on that didn't have a bearing on the play. Ryan was going to catch it, get rid of it, and we're going to run our play. You don't make that call. I think 99.9% of the officials would not have made that call.
The way I saw it was that, yes, there's no question he's the first guy to touch it, but he also is 20 feet in bounds. He makes a 20-foot trip in bounds making the catch on the ball, to be accurate.
Yeah, it's a letter of the law, and it's the spirit of the law. And, again, it certainly was a pivotal play in the game. Right. But we had more than our share of mistakes and miscues down the stretch. We should have won the game anyway.
Right, and I did a game on Saturday, same time you're playing, where a dribble handoff ended up in an offensive foul.
I watched that call, and that was a bad call, in my opinion. So I watched that play as well in the afternoon.
Letter of the law, whatever. But again, it was something where, just like you didn't make a big deal out of it, I didn't make a big deal out of it in the air either. You got to play on, because you do know there are other opportunities. Now, you've seen 2 dramatic swings. You're down 16, you rally. Then, in spite of this call, Colgate does score the final 7. Discuss the final few minutes, which are situational basketball, which you work a lot on. What did you like in one game, and then what didn't quite go right for you in the other game?
Well, against Lehigh, it's as dramatic a comeback as I've ever had a team make that late in the game. I've had some teams come back to win from bigger deficits, but it was much earlier in the game. So, we made all the stops we needed to make down the stretch. We were able to change up our ball screen coverage, our post defensive coverage, and get some turnovers against Lehigh. And then, obviously, we made every big shot. And we made free throws against Colgate down the stretch. We couldn't get key stops. We had a foul to give. We wanted to foul when they initiated their offense after half court. We didn't do it. I'm not entirely certain why. You know, we missed free throws down the stretch, and we missed, you know, we had some pretty good looks, you know, that would have salted the game away, and we just missed. So, you know, it's a fickle game, and momentum can change on a dime. And, you know, so by rights, you know, we probably didn't, quote-unquote, deserve to beat Lehigh, and we probably, quote-unquote, deserve to beat Colgate. We ended up splitting the two. And that's kind of the way it goes, you know, but we have to control what we can control.
Am I wrong in saying that maybe a target number for you defensively is usually 60 to 65 points? Am I okay by assuming that?
Yeah, I think that is probably a target number. I think bigger is like our field goal percentage defense.
Yeah, okay.
40, you know, that's the number I look at. You know, our championship teams, and again, we practice at 4:30, and you know, we're just gonna, you know, we're gonna talk about the Colgate game for a few minutes, and then we have to get better. You know, we can't, yeah, can't dwell on it. But teams in league play are shooting 43% against us, and our championship teams, they shot 39% against us, and that accounts for three more stops a game. That's it. You know, that will get our percentage down where we need it to be. And give us all the kind of breathing room we need. And you know, with a young team, you know, we're counting on four freshmen and two sophomores in our top 10. You know, that attention to detail defensively and just, you know, fighting the fatigue factor of how hard you have to work and grind every single possession defensively. You know, we were starting to see some slippage, and it reared its ugly head. Really, Wednesday, we were able to overcome it down the stretch against Lehigh, and certainly in the second half against Colgate, we played very poorly defensively.
Dave, in the Big Ten, because of where the conference tournament is, you get technically 2 weeks off. One usually is a Saturday, and the other one's usually a Wednesday, so you get two of them. In your conference with the tournament earlier, you go pretty consistently, for the most part, Wednesday, Saturday, no break. How closely do you have to watch your players because of that consistency without the breaks in there?
Well, it's a big deal. A couple of years back, when we were only at eight teams, we had a week break at the turn. We only played 14 games, and we had a week off, and it gave you a chance to give your guys an extra day off. Gave you a chance maybe to put a new wrinkle in offensively or defensively. With this change, you know, it's twice a week straight through. And it's a fine line. You know, we had kind of shortened practices a little bit, and we went on a five-game winning streak. And every year that I do this, you want to wait as long as you can to cut practices down, because there's always going to be an uptick in your performance. And then about two, 3 weeks later, you're going to get the slippage in the fundamental areas. And that's kind of where we're at. And so we cut practice back a little bit, and the boys will be in there a little bit longer this afternoon, Steve.
Right, I understand that. For you, coaching-wise, and after this I'll let you go because you have a 4:30 practice, how much do you immerse yourself, Dave, in watching DVDs of your team practicing games? How much do you immerse yourself in watching the next opponent? But then, when you coach them on the practice floor, how much more time do you actually spend on you as opposed to coaching them up about them? It's a double-edged sword question here.
Well, you know what? I'll watch every one of our games. It usually takes 4 or 5 hours to really kind of break down our games for me.
Right.
And then how much I watch with our team of our games, you know, it's a fine line. You know, we don't watch that much because I think the time is so valuable with the guys. I'd rather teach by doing and learning. But for me, you know, I'll do that. And then I'll probably, pretty much that's all I do all day and night, is watch film either of ourselves or the next team we're going to play. And to try to figure out what they do. And then, in practice, we'll work on our offense against how we think the next particular team is going to defend certain of our actions, and then we'll work on our defense with a particular focus on, you know, what Lafayette in this case or Colgate last week is going to do. But it's a fine line. When you game prep, again, prepping specifically for a game will help you be more efficient and effective in that particular game, but it also leads to some slippage in your overall execution of who you are. And so that finding that balance, that's the subtle act, the balancing act in coaching and going over the course of an entire season.
See, that's the difference, Dave, between you and Kevin. You're watching DVDs of your team, the opponent. He's watching Madden 2015. All right.
And Madden came out really close to what the game was going to be, the exact score.
The right score.
Yeah.
I think they had the right score.
Right score.
Madden and my daughter, my 13-year-old daughter predicted the score, and my 16-year-old daughter had the correct amount of time in the family pool of how long it would take to sing the national anthem. I got the first commercial right.
I should have gone to your house.
Yeah,
I should have been at your house.
Leftover pigs in a blanket if you want them, Kevin. Yeah.
Dave, thanks so much. Good luck this week. Look forward to talking to you next Monday.
All right, thanks. Take care.
Dave Paulson, head basketball coach Bucknell. We will come back in a few moments. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. We'll talk about Jerome Bettis going to the Hall of Fame as Kevin does the happy dance here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
When you buy insurance, it's serious business. Because if something happens and you don't have the right coverage, you're out of luck and maybe out of business. So if you need insurance, business, home, auto, or flood, ask your agent about Selective. No gimmicks, just great coverage and great response.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at purdyinsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
The wheels on the bus go round and round into the end zone. The legs on the bus go up and down, all through the secondary.
This is one of the, I think it's one of the, happy, emotional moments for Steeler fans to see Jerome Bettis get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I think Canton is going to be overrun with Steeler fans. You will be among them to see him get in. He is certainly deserving of getting into the Hall of Fame. He had a very, very good career. I would not categorize it as a great career, but he had a very, very good career. If you're going to go through the big check marks for him, longevity, huge check mark. Consistency, huge check mark. Durability, can't get a bigger check mark than that. Those are the three things that separate him and get him into the Hall of Fame. There are some things that go from great to very, very good, and these are some of the things I'm about to talk about. Again, he should be in. He is... he's not the greatest back to ever be in the Hall of Fame, but he's certainly deserves to put on a gold jacket like everybody else because he is had a really great run. He had a very good career. But take, for example, in the Final 10, he was the only running back left in the Final 10. Terrell Davis did not get to the Final 10. He was in the 15 but didn't get to the 10. Kevin will tell you repeatedly, like a broken record, Jerome Bettis was sixth all-time in rushing. And that's absolutely accurate. But here's the issue where now you start breaking it down a little bit more. with Jerome Bettis, and here's why I've had some arguments with Kevin before about this. To me, he is the equivalent of the basketball player that gets 25 points on 25 shots. When you look at his career, he averaged 71 yards rushing per game, which is 39th all time. Is a 71-yard rushing game a good game? If a guy gets 71 yards rushing, did he have a great game? And that was the great, that was his average. Then you go to the playoffs. He's not in the top 50. He averaged 48 yards per game in the playoffs. Davis does not have the durability that Bettis had, does not have the longevity Bettis had. In a shorter period of time, had the consistency that Bettis had. Listen to what Davis did. Davis averaged 97 yards per game in his career. Davis averaged 142 yards per game in the playoffs, which is number one all time. 142 yards a playoff game. You can argue John Elway brought the Broncos to a certain point that he personally could not get them past. Davis got them past as the addition to Elway that allowed them to be two-time Super Bowl champs and had some signature games in the playoffs, including the Super Bowl. What was Bettis' signature game? Was it that 200-yard? No, wait. Willie Parker had that. That great Super. Oh, that's right. Willie Parker had that one too. They became a Super Bowl team when they put speed to the edge with Parker. And that's the interesting argument here about other running backs in comparison, because Kevin will point out he's sixth all time in rushing. That's because of the longevity part, which is extremely important. That's also because of the consistency part, which is extremely important. But 71 yards rushing per game?
The other thing that I've always pushed about Jerome Bettis, longevity is part of it, but the fact that along
durability's
with...
Durability's huge.
Right.
Durability's huge.
Along with longevity, he was very durable, for the most part, very durable for a guy who carried the ball as many times as he did. And I don't know that we have any running backs in the NFL right now, maybe Marshawn Lynch, that carried the ball as many times on a regular basis, season to season, as Jerome Bettis did.
But the game's changed.
It has.
The game is different.
No question. I mean, it has changed. Yes.
And the game's more exciting. There he comes again.
The first half of the last night's game wasn't overly exciting, but the second half was.
You're kidding.
No, I've.
It was a 14-14 game at the break.
It just didn't. Halftime, it didn't seem to be going anywhere. It seemed to be spinning its wheels a little bit. Yeah, you know, New England was leading, but. But that's another topic.
Wow, that's one of the best football games I've ever seen, start to finish. The game has changed. Where a guy like Lynch is important. You mix in what you can do with the specialty guys like Vereen and Blunt. So I mean, Vereen had a great game last night. He had 11 catches. So the all the things I pointed out, I think I very strongly said he should be in the Hall of Fame and deserves it. I said very strongly he's consistent. I said very strongly he is durable. I said I said very strongly he has the consistency and the longevity. Those three things I pointed out as being big, big things with him. Yet, when you look at 71 yards per game, and then it drops down to 48 when the money's on the table, when you need him the most, when in that style of game at that time of year, he should actually be excelling. It should be the other way. I found that to be eyebrow raising. Now, a guy that didn't make the top 10, averaged 97 yards a game. Huge number. I think that's fourth all time. I believe that's the fourth highest all time per game. At 142 per game in the postseason? That's number one. I mean, that's 94 more yards per game than... That's wow stuff. That's when it counts. And that part really struck me. I was, you know, I took some look at some other guys, too. I mean, Fred Taylor had a really, really good career. Now, a guy that's coming up for election that I think it's going to be interesting to see, I thought Alan Faneca was a great offensive lineman for both, especially with the Steelers, more so with the Steelers than the Jets. I think he's on the ballot next year. I know you're doing your happy dance. I also could tell by your lack of reaction that you are stunned at how mediocre the numbers are.
Don't care in the hall. End of story for me.
I understand that, but I think I can tell by your reaction you didn't realize it was that pedestrian.
Don't care in hall. I'm happy.
Well...
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us today. Show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's will take great care of you, all of your insurance needs. Number one choice without question. And I'm in the Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors K routes 11 and 15 Humbles Wharf. New vehicle for Kevin this week.
We're featuring the 2015 Hyundai Sonata Limited that really came in handy today with the heated steering wheel till the you got the gloves even warmed up. I didn't even need the gloves, as a matter of fact, with a feature like that. And this thing has tons of those type of features, and it rides like you're on air. And I know you hear that a lot, but I'm very serious when I tell you I have never driven a vehicle that rides as smooth as this one. It is amazing.
Wow.
You have to test drive it yourself to understand it and to really appreciate it. And one of the convenience features that you often see in an SUV is actually available in the Hyundai Sonata Limited, and that is the automatic trunk opening. And if you have it set, which you can set on the dash to automatically open your trunk, when you're behind it for 2 to 3 seconds with the key fob in your pocket, it will automatically open the trunk for you so you can slide everything in the trunk and then shut it. Now, the one drawback is when you're brushing the snow off the car and you have the key fob in front of a key fob with you, it does also open the trunk lid for you there. So you got to keep that in mind as you're brushing the snow off like I was earlier this morning. But you can check out my Facebook page. And also at Kevin Herr on Twitter. I have the link, and you can see it in just a couple of days, or you can see any of the Hyundai Sonata models, especially the Limiteds, available at Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and you'll find them available right now, as a matter of fact.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. You look at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, what's coming up, first-timers on the ballot in certain years. Next year, Brett Favre is on for the first time. Terrell Owens is on for the first time. Alan Faneca, and a guy that obviously is never going to get there, Darren Sharper. The 2017, LaDainian Tomlinson and Brian Dawkins. Dawkins had a great career. On there for the first time. Donovan McNabb, which will bring up interesting debate. Jason Taylor, excellent defensive end. Hines Ward is on for the first time. Matt Leit, offensive lineman for the Patriots. Derek Mason and Joey Porter. So Favre and Owens next year
are the headliners. Tomlinson and Dawkins are unquestionably the headliners in 17. Then in 18, here we go. Ray Lewis, Randy Moss, Rondé Barber, Steve Hutchinson, Brian Urlacher, Donald Driver, and Jeff Saturday. How about that group? Ray Lewis, Randy Moss, Rondé Barber, Steve Hutchinson, great offensive lineman.
I can't make a vote on Ray Lewis. Either way, I'm biased there. It's not fair.
Urlacher, Driver, and Saturday.
Well, I think, you know, the one that looks pretty easy. What is 2016, did you say, Brett Favre?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's with Terrell Owens.
That one will shock me if it's not an easy entry.
Right.
Same with Marvin Harrison, I think, has got to be going in here soon, too.
Well, see, this is the issue I had, for example, Marvin Harrison, Tim Brown. To me, Marvin Harrison's a better player than Tim Brown. I mean, you look at what Marvin Harrison did. Marvin Harrison had a great career. Big plays, big moments, big games, big everything. See, I mean, to me, that's a distinguishing thing when it's that close. I mean, I know you don't like it because it doesn't. I mean, your guy's in, so it doesn't really matter anymore. But, for example, if you're breaking down, which guy would I rather have in a big game, Terrell Davis or Jerome Bettis? This doesn't take long for me.
You know, I think the next one, as far as guys that could,
Tony,
or could...
By the way, Tony Gonzalez, Ed Reed, and Champ Bailey in 2019, all three I think could be first-timers. Ed Reed, unbelievably good. I remember he played against Penn State when he was at Miami. Wow. That's a football player right there.
Yeah, I think one of the long shots, at least, especially in his first year in 2017, is Hines Ward. I just don't think the numbers are quite there. No. You didn't hear me, did you? You did not hear me, did you? You didn't listen.
Down the forest lane.
I said, I think he's a long shot in 2017 because I don't know that the numbers are there based on some of the recent receivers that have gone in. Yeah.
Well, if
you're a little shocked now, aren't you?
If you're going to put him out there and Marvin Harrison is still there, he's got no shot.
I agree. I would vote that way too if I had a vote. But you know what? You and I during the break talked about this. Kevin Green has been on the list for a couple of years.
They think he's got a real shot next year.
Well, here's the thing. You look at it, 160 sacks in his career. The only players with more career sacks are Bruce Smith, Reggie White. I mean, I realize that's one statistic, but I didn't realize that the number was that high. And I always felt he was a long shot.
Well, he's not Deacon Jones, he's not Reggie White, and he's not
no.
Bruce Smith.
No. But when you look at the sack numbers, and if you look only at sack numbers, that's actually pretty impressive numbers and pretty impressive names to be up there with.
Oh, there's no question about that. Just like 142 yards per game rushing in the playoffs versus 48.
Don't care. He's in.
I'm just saying, if you're going to cite numbers, then you could cite numbers.
Well, justice has been served this year. That's, you know, because now you've got the top backs in the Hall of Fame. That's where they should be. Trying to look at his 8-year career numbers. Let's see. Talking about Kevin Green. 8-year career numbers. 5 interceptions.
Mm-hmm, did score outside.
Yep. Did score a touchdown.
Yeah.
23 forced fumbles, 26 recoveries. 2 fumbles he returned for a touchdown. 669 tackles, 3 safeties.
No, a lot of people think he's going to get in next year.
You know, but again, that sack number is a lot more than I realized it was. I didn't realize he had that many career sacks with the Rams.
Well, no, that part I did know.
His I didn't Ram realize that. I didn't realize it.
His Ram career was really good. And he did great things when he was with the Steelers. I mean, I always kind of thought he was a real steal, the fact that they got him.
Well, you know, his arguably his best year was with Carolina.
But you know what? The problem, yeah, I think they made the Super Bowl that year. That was their Super Bowl team.
96.
The problem is, I guess they made the AFC Championship game that year.
Yeah, I don't remember. I know it was 90. I'm looking at it. It's 96 was the year he was with.
Yeah, they were beaten by Green Bay in the NFC Championship game. And Kerry Collins was the quarterback. The problem, his problem is if you don't get too caught up in Lawrence Taylor. How about that?
That's fair. Yeah, I mean, if he sets the bar.
If you don't get too caught up in Lawrence Taylor, who, despite all the problems and baggage, that's the single most explosive defensive football player I've ever seen. To me, he changed the game forever as the kind of guy that you have at that spot. I've never seen an athlete play that position until he played it. Even though there are moments where, for example, Carl Banks played better than him and Harry Carson played better than him. In fact, in big games, in the Super Bowl, I mean, Lawrence Taylor didn't really play great in either Super Bowl, They won all the Super Bowls he played in. I think he played in two. But he wasn't great in any of them. Carl Banks played great in all of them. So did Harry Carson. But Taylor didn't. Kevin Greene, like I said, I think there's a lot of argument. He might get in next year. He might make it. They really feel by the way, for example, it's a very... Did you fall down?
What'd you do? No, I was having a little trouble with my microphone. And now it seems to be working again. It's a conspiracy. First my voice, now my microphone.
Yeah. But Kevin Greene might make it. It's really, outside of Owens and Favre, it's not a very strong first-year entry group next year. That works to his advantage. I think it also works to the advantage of Kurt Warner. See, I think Kurt Warner should get in. I also think Orlando Pace should, too. And I really like John Lynch. I thought John Lynch was a great safety. That's why a debate between he and Brian Dawkins, man, how do you choose that one?
Let me ask you this. We talked about longevity with Jerome Bettis. 15 years in the NFL, all of them at outside linebacker for the most part. Did play a little defensive end, I think, with the Rams for a short time. But he played all but 12 games in his career. 228 of a possible 240.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, Jim Marshall played how many games in a row? Took him a long time to get in.
I'm not taking anything away from anybody else, but, when you see the injuries
you always have.
No, I'm turning over a new leaf. Jerome's in the hall. I don't have to defend it anymore.
Yeah. And Paul Amala will be a first-timer when he gets...
There's no debate about that.
How many times have I said that in the decade of the 2000s, okay, that decade, that he was probably one of the five best players, period, in the decade, not just by position. I said that how many times?
And I really, truly want him to retire.
I think it might be time for him. I mean, a guy who thrived on turnovers really wasn't even close to getting one.
Had a forced fumble this year. That was it.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's age, wear and tear. I mean, unfortunately, it does a number on you because what hurts with him is that you don't want him to be like Willie Mays.
Right.
When Willie Mays went to the Mets, he was such a shell of himself. I mean, this great, graceful, unbelievable outfielder. And, a little clumsy, slower.
Wait, wow. you look at 04, 05. I mean, he had like 97, 92 tackles there. And then didn't come anywhere close to that until 11. But the last 2 years, he did have, you know, close to 70 tackles, which basically would be almost his average for a season. It's the turnovers, though, that made him different. That was the impact player that he was. It was the interceptions that weren't there the last 4 years.
Well, you talking about Polamalu?
Yeah.
Oh, Polamalu. I thought you were talking about Kevin Green.
No. I'm talking about Troy Polamalu. I mean, he averages about 70 tackles a year. His high years were 04, 05 in the 90s there, 2011.
Yeah.
But it was the interceptions. It's the turnovers that he created in the prime of his career. 7 in 08, 7 in 2010. In the last 4 years, he's created 5. He's had 5 interceptions.
Well, one of the things I look at when I look at a great player is that do you have to specifically game plan for that guy? Take, for example, Richard Sherman. You really have to game plan for him out there. Take Darrelle Revis. You have to really game plan for him. You know, like you really have to sit there and go, okay, how do we handle this guy? Lawrence Taylor. How do you handle Reggie White? How do you handle him? Do you try to go at him instead of having him run you down from behind me? How do you do that? Do I use a back to chip him? Do I use an extra tight end to chip him? How do I handle that guy? And Polamalu was that guy. It's like, okay, wait, we got to be able to find him. Well, if he's over here, we're going to have to do this. If he's over there, we're going to do this. You had the game plan for Polamalu because he was that great. To me, he should be, there are 46 voters for the Hall of Fame. It should be 46-0 when his name comes up. Because, again, in the decade of the 2000s, which included Brady and Manning and guys like that, I mean, look at all the great players that played in the 2000s. Guess what? I thought he was one of the top five, and there were some years where I thought he was the best player in the NFL.
Yeah, when teams were throwing the ball a lot.
Yeah, but I felt that he was the best player a couple of years in the NFL where you can make that argument. I mean, that's how good I thought in his prime Polamalu was. Ed Reed, I felt Ed Reed's the same way. Ed Reed will be up for eligibility here by 18 or something like that. Ed Reed was a phenomenal safety. Great. I mean, you want to talk about a guy who knows at all times where the football is?
Wow. Did they miss, did the voters miss the opportunity with... We had talked about Harrison, but was Kurt Warner also, wasn't he available this year too?
Yeah, and I was surprised by that. I thought Warner was going to be an automatic getting in first time through. I thought Orlando Pace was going to get through this time. He didn't get through either. Will Shields, by the way, his son, Siobhan Shields, will be here on Saturday. Plays basketball for Nebraska. So he will be in the building here at the Bryce Jordan Center on Saturday. I don't know if Dad's going to come to watch him or not, but... Oh, and by the way, the Spikes, the State College Spikes, were entering their 10th year. One of the promotions they're going to do this year will revolve around Jerome Bettis getting to the Hall of Fame. Because Bettis is a part of the ownership group of the State College Spikes.
Okay, you're going to have to give me a heads up on that one.
Oh, just get the promotional thing and give it to you. Whatever, I could care less.
It's not the same.
What? They'll just hand me one. I'll just give it to you.
It's not the same. I want to be there.
Well, I don't know if he's going to be there.
Oh, well, you made it sound, well, then if he's not going to be there.
I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. He might be there. He is, you know, it's not as if he's never shown up before.
Well, then that's what then I'm going to be there.
I mean, it would be a great thing if he was. Fans would love it. But you didn't know he's part of the ownership of the Spikes,
did
you?
I did not know that, no.
Yeah. God. Jeez, I thought you were a fan. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right. Welcome back. So the Jerome Bettis saga is finally laid to rest. He's in the hall. Now Kevin has to come up with some bake sales to get himself to Canton.
Hang on, I'm ordering my tickets.
You're actually ordering tickets now?
Yeah, because the seats are really outstanding. If I order them now, if I wait till August, I'll end up in the back of the stadium. I mean, this way I get into the front of the stadium.
Yes, but what about the restraining order?
It's enough feet, all right? I'm high enough. You got to do elevation, too. You got to factor that in.
So if Bettis shows up for that, for the event that they have going on for him this summer for the Spikes, I'm supposed to make sure you're there?
No, you don't have to make sure I'm there. You have to make sure you let me know so I can get there.
Okay.
I'll blow this show off to go see Jerome Bettis in a minute. No offense. I'll join you in State College. That'd be even better.
Awfully high on hero worship. All right.
All right, so it's slightly creepy. What's your point?
Well, my point would be to eliminate the word slightly.
See, this will work out great because that'll be a home game. I'll go out and hang out with you in the Sunbury Motor Studio. We'll both go to the game together, grab a couple of dogs, we'll have a great time.
I think there's enough Advil in the world, do you?
I'll sit in the booth. I'll even do the stats for you.
Stats?
I'll keep the book. That's my job in Little League. Keep the book.
Not even in football do I have a statistician or a spotter.
See what you're missing with not having me in the booth with you?
I've got a pretty good handle on that, yeah.
Think about all the fun we'd have during the breaks. I mean, think about, you know, when you came up to Williamsport, we had a lot of fun during the rainout. Okay, I had a lot of fun during the rainout.
Cindy's at home right now saying, say something. Say something.
Go ahead. Say something so I can yell at you.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com.
I don't care what you said. I had fun.
We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Me? Jonesy, a couple of dogs in the ball game. Doesn't get much better than that, especially with the bus hanging out with us.
I hope he does show up, because just to see you drool. In fact, we may do a napkin giveaway.
Ooh.